This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. I've owned Tecovas for years. I love these goddamn boots. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. That's true. I never got blisters from these things. Huge fan. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store today. Have a complimentary drink or two, which I've had, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are always at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. I can promise you that. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Yeah, talking about liquidiv.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Jabes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated, we'd have headaches, we'd be tired, yeah. Exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work. We'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover.
Hangover.
Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Oh, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay. I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution!
Okay, go. Be serious.
I'm serious. I'm fucking serious, right?
Oh, what's that?
I'm doing my serious voice tonight.
Oh, is that serious?
I'm doing my serious voice tonight. We're doing a serious show.
It kind of sounds like a...
What does it sound like?
I don't know. Like a mafia character?
Look.
Caricature?
Could be.
Ooh.
Could be. What I do know is this, Jabes. Why am I so serious? I am so serious. Sorry, when I said that line, I was like, that's the fucking Joker, obviously.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe insert a Joker laugh or something.
Thanks.
we received some backlash.
What? What did I say this time?
Not you.
Oh.
I think I started this shit parade with Aldi's.
Oh yes, Aldi's.
Our hatred
I would
for
love
Al-
to not
Aldi's
talk about it anymore. But
ran real deep.
It ran deep.
We got a lot of messages from the last show of like, "Hey, you guys, Aldi's like my wife.
My wife is an avid Aldi. Listen,
yeah. It's not that we don't love your wife.
I know.
I'm not saying she's not doing the best she can for your family, your kids. Loved ones.
No, if she can navigate that fucking trash bag.
Absolutely. Then more power to her.
I'm happy
but
for
we're
her.
Gonna, we're
but
gonna read,
I did not
we're gonna
understand
read some
it.
Of these. We're going to read some of these complaints to
okay,
the audience.
Okay, but I stand by my... I choose my choice.
I did too.
And I stand by my choice.
Same here.
But it doesn't mean I don't love you guys. I just don't like your grocery store. Is that okay?
Same, yeah. Like, I don't like Aldi's
either. Can we have a difference? Yeah.
I don't like Aldi's either.
All right. So who's pissed?
Ethan Burnside was one of them.
Okay.
He said, hey, man, just listen to your last show about you bagging on Aldi. And I would.
And I take umbrage.
I would have to say that some of what you said was true. But when it comes to certain items like milk, produce, you can't beat their prices. They also have some interesting German beers if you like to play a beer guessing game. Here,
see,
Ethan.
There you go.
Ethan, here's what I'm going to say to you at the top. At no point do I ever want to play a beer guessing game. I want to know what the fuck I'm ordering. I want to know what kind of beer it is. I want to know if it's an IPA, a fucking stout. I want a pale ale. I want to know. At no point do I want to guess what beer I'm drinking. Like, there's not one time in this world where I'm like, that'd be a fun thing just to guess whatever beer I'm drinking.
I don't
want to know.
No.
There's a reason why there's fucking labels on all the goddamn bottles.
No, he's not talking about there's no labels. It's just that, like, it's going to be beer that you've never heard of, so you have no idea, like, if it's good or not.
Yeah, but you've been inside the Aldi's, right?
Like,
it's not like their labels are great. It's just kind
true.
Of like a...
That's true.
It's like a Post-it.
And I will say he's right about the prices. Like, I guess... But it's like low prices on stuff you didn't
really want.
Need or
if you
want.
Need 18 toothbrushes, great. Next person, Greg Baker. Greg Baker wrote in and said, my wife and I shop at Aldi's once, maybe twice a month, just for snacks and junk food. My wife runs an in-home daycare, and it's the cheapest place here in Walmart country to free be snacks for kids.
Okay.
So
I could see that.
Because
you're just
I
like
so.
Whatever, just snacks. Like, it's not anything that you need. Do you know what I mean?
I got a question for you. In the amount of money that you're spending in gas to go to Aldi versus a Walmart or whatever, like, is that extra $2? Like, is that gonna do it at? Because like for me again, you can't just go to Aldi's alone. There isn't. They don't. They just simply
have
don't
to
have.
Also, yes. Go somewhere else.
So
yeah.
Therefore, it's going to cost you extra gas money unless you're specifically going into Aldi's for. I guess what he's saying is like snacks, and juice.
Yeah,
boxes.
And just sort of whatever you see. So it's like, you know, like you're not looking.
Yeah.
Again, you're not looking for something specific. So it's got to be like you have all of your other groceries,
right?
And you're just like, let's just see what fucking weird shit Aldi's has. You know what I mean? And for that, you know, I'll go to Dollar General.
Yeah, and if I was like super high
ooh,
and I wanted to pick out a bunch
go.
Of weird shit.
There you go.
Maybe. But here's the...
For cheap. And it is cheap. You guys are right.
Here's why this wouldn't work, though. Like, it closes at 8 p.m. Nobody's getting high in the middle of the afternoon and just rolling through Aldi's.
Wow.
Who's a real person like in the real adult world. But look.
Whoever's doing, if someone's doing it right,
yeah,
they're doing it like
look,
that,
look,
for
look,
sure.
You're super rich and you're out there and you're like, yo, man, I smoke weed all day and I go to fucking Aldi's just as a guessing game.
And because, if you're super rich, then you'll be going to Williams-Sonoma high as fuck and getting some like sweet ass shit.
Some high-end cheese. The funniest one we received today was I'm just gonna shout out his Twitter handle. It's Fastbuck Inc. So go to @FastbuckInc on Twitter, and he says shopped at Aldi's once, ended up buying Kraft mac and cheese with Arabic writing on it.
Boom, and that's the answer.
That right there from Fastbuck Inc. Made me. Laughs hysterically like that. That's exactly what it is, where it's like, oh,
I like the people that were like, it's a German grocery store.
Yep.
And they're coming over here like that's going to change my mind.
Right. Right.
I don't care.
I know.
It still isn't going to work for me.
No, I can't.
And that's okay. Again, you guys, we can have differences.
We can. We can
all
have
live
differences.
Together.
Yep.
And I personally have 5 grocery stores right around surrounding my house. I don't know why, but that's the way they're doing it.
Yeah. And if by the way, if you do have us over at your house for like a barbecue or a get together or some, you know, informal gathering, and you say to me, hey, man, stick your arm in this Yeti and just pull out a drink and start drinking it.
Mm-hmm.
That will never happen.
Yeah, you're definitely very, you
will
like
never
to know.
Fucking happen. Yeah, because I look, I've become a beer snob. Living in the land of the craft beers.
You have.
I have. And I'm not afraid to call out any like beers on it where I'm just like, man, because it is, I will say this about craft beer. It really is a craft and you have to be good at it. I know that is not making beer is like sexy as it sounds as a guy. It's something I'll never be good at in my life. I'm not a mixologist.
I'm equating it to like these new restaurants that are coming up. Like some of the chefs are good.
Right.
Some of them aren't.
Aren't.
So it's the same with beer, which I didn't realize.
Well, you have, here's why. And here's my guess. You take the chefs on your side, right? You have the Cooking Channel and the Food Network and all of that shit. Everybody watches this shit all day long. Now you have like Viceland and MTV out. They've all got like kind of like quasi cooking shows. We watched a marijuana cooking show on fucking Viceland the other night.
Oh,
it was just
God,
like all of the shit they made.
Yeah.
We would never eat in a million years. And it was just like, man, you're just rolling like asparagus and weed right now. Like
was my personal nightmare meal.
So therefore, everybody at home who's watching, you know, some weird fucking Tom, Dick, and Harry audition for the Food Network star or whatever the fuck that show is.
Sure.
They're watching it saying, I don't understand why that couldn't be me. Like, I make shit.
My friends say I make shit. Their shit sucks. So then it's the same as these guys that are like.
So they go to the restaurants. Yeah. You get a job. And, you know, the things that you make or whatever aren't necessarily what everybody, the populist thing. And look, a chef is another job that I look at where I'm like, fuck, if you're a great chef, like that takes unbelievable skill and years of hard work to me.
It's also a little bit of you have it or you don't. So like,
exactly.
So like our friend at Wilmington Brew.
Rice. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Has it. And like, he's been super into it. He doesn't seem like he's like just studying it like crazy and just working super hard. He just kind of like got it. And his beer's fucking great. And he has like great flavor combinations in his beer.
Yeah.
At
Wilmington Brewing Company.
Pumpkin, like, whatever.
Yeah. But I will say this. Every time I've gone in, he's in the back personally overseeing
absolutely,
like every last fucking barrel. But
absolutely.
Like,
but I don't think he was just like a down and dirty dude that like that he liked it and he was good at it.
Yeah, he's great
at it.
And then
you go to a place that like maybe we won't name, but like a really nice place by the beach.
Yes.
That's like somebody gave these, you know, there's like a bunch of like investor dudes that like know how to make beer and they can like kind of do it.
Well, that's
every
investor's dream of like,
exactly. So it's
I'm
just
rich,
like restaurant.
And I want my own bar and I want my own beer. And you're like, all right, cool. But usually those people,
know.
It sucks. Like the food sucks.
Yes.
The drink sucks. So
because they haven't worked.
No. And in the craft
they
beer
don't have
space.
Heart.
In the craft beer space, it's a different story where it's like you see all of these places opening with their own craft beer and you're like, man, I could do this. Mm-hmm. I could make my own beer. And then they go and make their own beer and it tastes like toilet water.
Yeah.
Just absolute fucking toilet water. Like they had, a striped tube sock all the way up to their elbow and they just stuffed it right in really down in the toilet to ferment
sure.
it. And they were like, here you go.
Here you go.
It's a pale ale.
This is my brew company.
Yep.
And you're going to like come to my tap room and think it's super cool. And like for a second, you're going to be like, oh, is this good? And you're drinking straight up sock toilet water.
Yeah.
But for one second with the ambiance and everything, you're going to be like, oh,
it tastes like
this is good?
It tastes like you were squeezing the contents of a baby diaper into a mason jar. At some of these places where you're like, fuck, I don't even know what this is.
Just tastes like water, like meatless watered down gravy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which yummy, right? Yummy to a lot of people.
It tastes like hot water. I'm kidding.
It tastes like vodka and warm milk.
it tastes like hot dog water with a splash of grapefruit
of
juice.
Bean soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it.
He's like,
craft beer now is hit and miss, and they're certainly not regulating it. So,
so have fun, guys.
I will say this:
be wary.
If you were in Wilmington, North Carolina, the best hands down beer is Wilmington Brew Company.
They got heart. They started in a closet.
They're my favorite beer in the world. I'm not ashamed to say it.
They started in a closet. They didn't get a bunch of big investors. They grew from a really, really small.
It was a great product that turned out great. Kind of like our sponsors, like Strike Force Energy. Like,
right.
Very tiny. It was, you know, the guy was doing it on his own out of his shop, and Strike Force is fucking awesome. And same with Black Rifle Coffee Company. Like, Black Rifle Coffee was, you know, some buddies of ours. Their coffee is fucking great. It doesn't matter what they do or constantly
working on it.
Yeah, it's
which
great.
Is like,
and the coffee's great.
Constantly working on it. So this like nice brewery down by the beach, like, let's go back to the drawing board because you didn't get it.
Or you
didn't get it right.
Here's my question, because a buddy of mine
didn't get it.
Tim, who owns the bar, who was on an earlier show of ours.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, I was like, dude, what would you do? And he was just like, man, I just buy the fucking kegs of the best beer at wholesale and sell that. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, just like a badass.
Why don't they fucking do that?
Tasting room.
The places we've gone, like a lot of the new craft breweries, not just in Wilmington, but all through like North Carolina, California. To me, like the inside looks amazing. Like, they're immaculate. They've got all these great investors who've sunk all this money in this thing. Just put great beer in there. So you have one job, put good beer in there. So like, what's the shame in just buying out somebody's beer and just marking it up and selling that or franchising it? Fuck, I could go on for a million years. We got some sponsors, Jesse, who actually pay for this show to be on the air. Otherwise, you'd be in a ditch right now.
Otherwise, I'd be watching The Murder of Lacey Peterson.
Is that on?
That's recorded.
Look at that.
In my room.
Yeah.
And I do mean my room.
Yeah. No, I definitely.
That I let you sleep in.
Sure. I don't I don't get to go anywhere near that goddamn place after 8 p.m. It is a den of murder and mystery.
I just like to, just snuggle
Shut
up.
Shut down, snuggle up. If somebody's not getting off, you're not sleeping tight that night.
Nope. If I'm not figuring out some kind of murder.
Yeah. Yeah, you're then you're not
some
sleeping
kind of
at all.
Cold case, some kind of forensic mystery.
You're not sleeping awake.
Then I don't sleep a wink.
No, you don't. But let's get to the sponsors, shall we? First up, we got straightrazors.com. Straightrazors.com is the finest shaving equipment in the biz. They've got some high-end shit there. If you're looking for some old school tombstone fucking Doc Holliday rich ass town sheriff type shit, they've got it, man. They've also got the number one ranked aftershave in the world, the number one ranked cologne in the world. It's called Smolder, and it's my fucking jam. It stings a little bit, seals up those pores. It's nice. You're not going to be shaving for a couple days after that because you don't have to. Nothing's coming out of that goddamn thing. They've also got amazing shampoo and conditioner. They got beard oils, some waxes, everything you need to be a real fucking man. Go to straightrazors.com, support the show, type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Again, go to straightrazors.com, type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Love all their products there. Next up, we got strikeforceenergy.com. Yeah. Strikeforce Energy, who we were talking about at the top of the show, started off just a couple dudes in a dream. Now they're extremely close to being nationwide. They're in actually all of 7-Elevens in Virginia Beach at the end of the month. And if those go well, they're global, bitch. They're global. And they probably will be. Their product's fucking amazing. I drink the shit all the time. Plus, I didn't have to buy cans of shit anymore. No Monster, Red Bull, any of it. I just take these little pouches and squeezing them in my drinks, and I'm good to go. It's like it's better than like 5 hour energy. Lasts like 5 or 6 hours. It's great. Go to strikeforceenergy.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Again, go to strikeforceenergy.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. They ship everywhere in the entire world, and they get a subscription of the month club, which is real nice. Real nice. last but not least, we got At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed, the first ever romance novel for dudes. Jables.
No.
Oh, you are beautiful.
And she's a lady.
At Night She Cries While He Rides His Steed is the funniest book ever written, in this life or any other life. Like a lot of people said, hey, Ross, what about the Bible? That's pretty hilarious. Guess mm-hmm. what? This book's funnier.
Really?
This book's funnier than the Bible. Go to Amazon.com and buy it. I used to say go to bookstores everywhere and get it, but it's sold out half of those goddamn places. So go to Amazon.com, buy that shit, Walmart.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's all the .coms is what I'm saying. Or just go to Audible and listen to my lovely, lovely voice narrate this thing to the best of my abilities. And it's like one of the top 10 rated books on Audible, which is fucking nice. Top of the show. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to get into, big fan of Robert Lee.
Oh, God.
Big, big fan of Mr. Robert Lee. For those of you who don't know Robert Lee, he is an Asian man. Appears to be maybe 30s, late 30s,
sure,
early 40s.
Sure.
Tough to tell with those Asians.
Right.
They're a tricky culture because they look young. They look really young. So they can either be 12 years old or 80, and mm-hmm. you don't know.
Right.
And I got to tell you, whatever's in their gene system, I want it. I want it. I want the Asian genes in my system.
But they turn a corner when they get older.
Yeah, but like real old.
And it's a...
They live to like 118 years old. Right, so it's like when they're 92, that's when they start to turn. And you're like, I'll take it.
All right.
For Robert Lee... He was supposed to announce the University of Virginia game.
Excited to do it, huh? Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excited to do it. You know, he's a quality announcer. As you know, Virginia was where the Charlottesville bullshit happened with the taking down the statues and everything else and the fucking white supremacist and the Nazis who were. Am I saying that right? The Nazis.
The Nazis. Yeah.
The Nazis.
Neo-Nazis.
Who were fucking out. Which, again, like, fuck those guys. Fuck the 200 of them that were there for causing all of this shit. But, you know, everybody and their mothers come out, spoke out against it, donated money. It appeared that if we had moved on from it.
Right.
Like, hey, they took down the statues. We're all good. But ESPN...
So Robert E. Lee got taken down.
Robert
right?
E. Lee got taken down.
Okay.
Robert Lee, the Asian announcer,
yeah,
in his 30s for ESPN, got taken down as well from Charlottesville.
God.
because, and I'm gonna read this quote, and I'm gonna read it verbatim here because this was ESPN's official statement from removing Robert Lee from the Virginia game. We collectively made the decision with Robert to switch games as the tragic events in Charlottesville were unfolding simply because of the coincidence of his name. In that moment, it felt right to all parties. It's a shame that this is even a topic of conversation, and we regret that who calls play-by-play for a football game has become an issue. Here's the thing, ESPN. It wasn't an issue. The last thing on my fucking mind would have been, oh, man, is that Asian man in his 30s?
Not you, though, but it's unfortunate
calling
that maybe...
Calling the game is Robert Lee? Can you name a fuck... Like, it is... Look, I'm a diehard sports fan. Diehard. You're going to be hard-pressed for me to know all of the ESPN game announcers. And that's saying a lot for me.
Sure.
Like, that's really me coming clean.
Yeah.
I would have no... fucking idea.
Okay. So he could have done the whole game and you wouldn't have even heard his name.
No one. Because they never say.
Oh, now we're gonna really, Robert Lee?
Back yeah. to you, Robert Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think? It's
just
third
be
and
like
eight, Robert
Rob
Lee.
Yeah. Or Robert.
They never say Robert Lee. They say
depends,
each other's names.
Depends if he was like down, going to be down on the field or like. I don't know.
No, he's in the booth.
And we've got Robert Lee.
He was in the. He was. Are they going to remove the booth too? Because you could say he's in the John Wilkes booth as well. Fucking assholes. But the ironic thing about this is this last sentence that ESPN says. It's a shame that this is even a topic of conversation, and we regret who calls play by play for football has become an issue. Again, there was no issue. Not one person dug into this and was like, oh boy. I wonder what
that Asian announcer
Robert Lee.
We
God
don't know
damn
that.
It. I want to track down where he's going to be calling games this year and try
we
to
don't
figure
know
the
if
fuck out.
People at the school were like, you know.
No, this was solely ESPN.
Just like,
and they are under fire right now.
Yeah, for
this, and again, how can you move on as a society from stupid shit if you're creating it on your own? And this is ESPN. Like, the P in ESPN does not stand for politics.
Right.
So therefore, take your dick and balls out of politics and quit doing this stupid shit. The Especially Sports Network. I don't.
Especially?
I'm kidding.
The
Entertainment Sports Network is
okay.
So that's what it is. Okay. Stupid. It's fucking stupid.
It is.
So is removing Robert Lee because it sounds too much.
It is. It is
like
stupid.
The statue they removed. I mean, if it was fucking Jonathan Hitler calling the game,
yeah,
like maybe, you know, I don't think he would have gotten hired, though. I don't think Jonathan Hitler would have gotten hired. You know, he wouldn't have gotten that job in the first, you know, he could have had a voice like honey, you know, smooth as wine, just getting in there. And it's like, whoa, that's looks like Matt Ryan's dropping back and he's throwing an 18 yard out to Julio Jones. I'm Doug Hitler.
Right.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
Like, no. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, Robert Lee has worked
Adam
there for a year.
Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think Hitler's bad.
Way to go, James.
Listen, I mean, I know it's a controversial like thing to say. And I've been saying it forever. You know, I've been saying it before. It's been cool to say it.
Yeah.
I've always said that Hitler is bad, haven't I?
Yeah, you really have.
I've always said that before
it became trendy again. I will say, like, before it became trendy again.
I've always said that.
Right.
I've always said that. So I think that's the moral of this. Do you know what I mean?
It is. It is the
No,
the
I think
moral
it's just
story.
That I think it's a scary road because we're all trying to be respectful and trying to like not step on anybody's toes, but like what you do also have to understand is like you will never make everybody happy. And we're living in a world now where you're going to offend a group. No matter what you do, you're going to offend people. Right. So it's just a matter of like trying to keep some sanity to our respectfulness. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, my God, the guy's name's Robert Lee. Like, what are you want us to like take him out of the game for that? Like, there has to be some, like I said, there has to be a dad to come in and say, no, that's fucking crazy.
Well,
but there's nobody doing that. Like everybody collectively was like, yep, that sounds like the right thing to do.
At ESPN, not in the world. Like,
no, I know. But it's like there's a big group. They're a fucking big business. They're a corporation. Like people had to get together. Like a group of grown ass people had to get together and say, yeah, I think that's the best.
To even sit down and analyze everybody's name and where they're calling the game. Come on, man.
There must have been something that came up that they were just like, well, let's not even fucking deal with it. Get him out. It must not have been that good.
Boy. I can't like rage on this shit enough because it's, again, if you're doing this fucking minute bullshit and you're really looking for the needle in the haystack on this one.
And I'm not against being respectful of like things that are going to, you know, be triggers for certain groups. Like I'm not against that.
Such as what?
Just anything. Like,
well, what's in your opinion, what's a trigger for a group?
I mean, not saying certain words, like not being, do you know what I mean? Like not being, you know what I mean? What are you fucking talking about? What's a trigger for a group?
Well, I mean, how is Robert Lee, the Asian man, a trigger for like,
he's
like,
not, but I'm saying like, I'm all for being respectful of the way that we talk and the things that we say, and especially like on TV and stuff like that, as far as like being inclusive, but like, I think that's a little bit too far.
The ESPN thing is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm saying like I get where they're coming from because we're all just like so freaked out to offend people. But there has to be a line, right? There has to be a line in there.
There is no line anymore, and that's the problem.
So it's like
there isn't one. So it's you can either call people out on their bullshit like ESPN, and you can call people out because immediately after that, the next trending topic, another protest, another fucking protest for I'm with Cap. So it's people for who are protesting that Colin Kaepernick is not in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So they've all gathered. They gathered outside of the NFL headquarters tonight. 200
people. What are they alleging?
Hashtag I'm with Cap.
But what are they alleging? That it's because he didn't...
Because he didn't stand for the national anthem.
Again, and I
that
said
he's
this
getting
last
blacklisted
time.
From the NFL. And they're like, it's not right. Look, it's a fucking job, dude. Same as
and
anybody else on this planet. If you don't fucking appease your employers, you're not going to get hired. Colin Kaepernick, in my opinion, was a fucking asshole. And if he wants to use his quote-unquote platform to fucking kneel down during the national anthem, congratulations.
Congratulations.
The owners of the NFL are going to use their platform to say you're not going to be my fucking quarterback because the NFL is a goddamn business.
Yep.
And there's no bigger CEO than that business than the quarterback of your team. Everybody knows the quarterback of every single team there is. In the NFL, even the shitty ones where you're like, man, you still know who the quarterback is.
Right.
This, unfortunately, is an issue for him that, look, if he was passionate about it, then he should stay passionate on through retirement because he's not getting a fucking job in the NFL.
No. And like I said before, it's like if you really care about something, then you take the consequences. Like, that's the whole point of kneeling down is like, I don't care what happens to me. This is important, right?
Right.
So, but something happened to you and now you're like, whoa, wait, I didn't want anything to really happen to me. I just wanted to be able to do whatever I wanted. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
So like this will move his movement forward. If he really wanted to take this and be like, speak out and be like, I was fired because this is what I believed in. And like, do you know what I mean? Like, take it that way. He's not.
No.
He's so, crying about not being able to be in the NFL.
Him personally, I will say this. He has not really spoken out about the issue. It's everybody else around him that has spoken out about the issue.
Maybe making it a different issue than it actually is.
No. I think he is pissed off and bitter about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also very aloof. And he's a fucking weird guy. Like,
spoiled brat.
He's just a fucking weird guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before last year, he didn't have a fucking afro or cornrows or anything like that.
Sure.
You know, this year this past season, he decided to do that, which was, you know, super against character. Like, I don't understand why he changed.
Which is fine if you want to still play by the rules.
Totally fine.
But
how somebody changes to activist overnight,
mm-hmm.
and then doesn't expect there to be some backlash, especially from your employer.
Yeah.
Because look, by you taking a protest, and at the time it
you're
was for
a distraction.
Black Lives Matter. Exactly.
You're a distraction.
However,
from the game.
Yeah. But during an NFL game, people, you know, go to the entertainment games. They're entertainment. They want to go to get away from the real world and all that shit, not to be reminded of the shit that's still going on. And there's a lot of teams right now that need a quarterback, like a lot. A lot of people got hurt in this preseason. Chad Henne is actually starting tonight, which good luck finding him from fucking Neverland. Like, if you told me Chad Henne was going to be starting over Colin Kaepernick in tonight's preseason game, I would have blown my face off.
I would have punched you right in the penis.
Yeah. Yeah. But so now, you know, you got Jay Cutler down in Miami playing. Chad Henne is playing somewhere. Blake Bortles is still a quarterback somehow. And then you've got the curious case of Andrew Luck, who the guy's disappeared off the face of the fucking planet. Nobody knows if he's hurt, going to play. Nothing. There's been no reports on him. Indianapolis needs a quarterback. You got Joe Flacco up in Baltimore. He got hurt. They need a quarterback. There's a lot of spots open. Not one single person is called Colin Kaepernick, who, to be fair, he had a decent year last year on a shitty team. He was, 3 years ago playing in the Super Bowl? 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Now the guy literally can't get a fucking job. well, you know.
He's a bust.
Sorry,
dude.
Buddy. Sorry about your
He's
life,
not
G.
That good.
You know who isn't a bust? Judge Judy is not a bust. Her fucking salary came out today, and I staggered a little bit. I took a step back.
Really?
$47 million a year Judge Judy gets.
Really?
$47 million. Say that out loud.
$47 million.
For Judge Judy.
A year.
She's not a real judge, right?
What is she getting that for?
For her show. She gets it for her fucking show.
The ratings? Syndication. Does she have a piece of the action?
Yeah. She's got a piece of the action since syndication that she's on every day. And her ratings crush for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know who's watching Judge Judy in the afternoon.
Well, it comes on at this weird time. Listen, I'm not going to say I am.
No, but what time is it?
But it comes on like after all the stuff. So like after the Today Show and... you know, Ryan and Kelly, and then like one more show, and then it's like judge shows. So it's one of those things that if you're like watching something, it'll just come on.
Man.
So it's one of those things that like they get part of their ratings from people just leaving TVs
on. Just leaving TVs on. I mean, $47 million is crazy, by the way. It's crazy.
Well, she's got to have like a million episodes.
Well, one would imagine because she's on
like
all 5 days a week.
Yeah.
But I mean, fuck, $47 million. I remember when I was writing, the only other crazier salary I can remember for somebody who works this little is Pat Sajak. I was doing a, I wrote a movie about Pat Sajak called Searching for Sajak back in the day. And it was great. And I, you know, we got to meet with him or whatever. And they were like, look, I'm not sure he's going to be interested because of how much money he makes a year if he really wants to do a fucking movie. And I was like, come on. I was like, how much does Pat Sajak make? And they told me he made $18 million a year. And this was in 2004, five, like somewhere in there. And I was just like, holy shit. That's crazy. And they tape like five shows in a day. So he only works one day a week.
I mean, it's a hard day, but he works one day.
Come on.
Huh?
Five times a half hour? Like, what is that? 2.5 hours of work?
Yeah, but you're like...
one day? Filming. And you're calling out letters?
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of quiche. And I heard at the time that Vanna was getting somewhere in the 8 to 10 neighborhood.
I'm sure.
Just for turning letters. And she didn't even turn the letters anymore. Now it's just she pushes them. She pushes them and they light up.
Yeah.
And that's how much money she's getting. And I'm like, fuck.
And they're still fucking doing it, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. What does he make now?
I'd venture to say he's making whatever he wants. And the reason why is this. Wheel of Fortune is a staple. That and Jeopardy. The ratings have been the same for 1,000 years. No matter, you know, cord cutting or not. The rating, there's death taxes in the ratings of Wheel of Fortune and fucking Jeopardy.
Okay.
So I bet you they go in and they bump it. I would say anywhere from 3 to 5% per year because they can. Pat personally, like, you know, I got into it with his people, not like into it, not to like in an altercation, but I got into
a
discussion over the film. Fox Searchlight at the time was going to buy it, but he had to be attached, obviously, and it was. It was a whole fucking goddamn 2-year process, and at the end,
it's a very specific script. Like you have, but
it was
to get
it was
guy.
Great. It was
I know,
great.
But it's like,
and
come on.
But here's the thing. So we got to Pat. His people loved it. They wanted him to do it. He's got a production company. Doesn't produce anything, but he's got a production company.
Doesn't need to.
No, they wanted him to do it.
Right.
And. Somebody had told me over there, they were like, look, Pat still has other aspirations to do other things and doesn't want to be labeled as the Wheel of Fortune guy. In the early 90s, like his dream was to have a late night show like Johnny Carson, which they gave him in the early 90s for 1 year. And it bombed miserably. He did some cooking stuff. He was one of the first people to do like go inside the kitchen with chefs and shit like that. And,
really?
Yeah. And anyways, didn't do well. After that, like he wanted to come back and, you know, try to attempt to do it again. But it's like, as the years have gone by, there is no shame that Wheel of Fortune is a great fucking gig and you're making a shit ton of money. And
yeah, and he seems like not phoning it in, burnt out. I don't know. He's just not really in it anymore.
Yeah, he's not. But
I wouldn't want to watch like a late. Back in the day, I would have.
Here was the interesting thing about Hollywood, and I still don't have confirmation of this to this day, but in this particular script, it was a college road trip movie, and mm-hmm. it was a kid had to write his last semester, his final semester paper on the most influential person in his life, mm-hmm. and he always grew up with Wheel of Fortune, so he writes his paper on Pat Sajak.
Okay.
He goes, the professor tells him to dig a little deeper. He goes home and finds this old VCR tape in the attic and pops it in. And he sees his mom, who's deceased, on Wheel of Fortune. And it seems like her and Pat Sajak are kind of hitting on each other throughout the show.
Oh.
And in this box, there was like a marriage certificate and a birth certificate, and they don't match up. And so he goes on this cross-country journey to talk to Pat Sajak to ask him about his mom and see if Pat Sajak was his biological father. And it's a great script. It was a lot like at the time.
Make him autistic and we could do it.
Oh boy.
We could do it tomorrow. We'd get funding.
I know, right? The funny thing is with this particular movie, Road Trip was hot. Like Road Trip had come out. There was a couple other like road trippy type movies like that. And so that genre was hot. The comedy right. was hot. And then he backed out of it and said no. But the script had gotten all over town. And then like a year later, I saw an episode of How I Met Your Mother where I think it was the Neil Patrick Harris character thought that Bob Barker was his biological father. And then they went and tracked him down and Bob Barker did the fucking show. From Price is Right. And to this day,
maybe
I don't have.
You should have like aimed lower.
Any confirmation of. I auditioned for that goddamn show. So it was like, you know, I went as low as that.
You auditioned for what show?
How I Met Your Mother.
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, you should have gone lower as far as like the person that you picked.
Oh, so.
Pat Sajak.
This became a topic of conversation. The script at that point was. Again, everybody loves it. And so they're like, dude, why don't we just swap out Sajak for somebody else?
Yeah.
Like Trebek.
Yeah.
Like Alex Trebek. I'd love to do Alex Trebek. And he's Canadian. And we couldn't get the American road trip aspect of it down. So that caused a problem. The Bob Barker thing at the time, once that episode came out, it had been done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was you were kind of stuck on game shows then. You were just like. All right, what do we do now? Like, you know, at the time there was very little game show. So, yeah, it was a specific script. I took a huge swing and a missed. But he goes to a lot of Dodgers games. And I saw him at a Dodgers game.
Mm-hmm.
But he was down in like, and I had pretty good goddamn seats that night. But like Sajak has money seats at Dodger Stadium. Like he's right behind home plate. Like, fucking two rows up, and
sure.
I saw him walk down, and I was like, man, I couldn't get past security to talk to him. I was probably like 10 rows behind.
What were you
going
to say to him?
I was just going to say to him, hey, I'm the guy who wrote that, because I never got to meet him in person. So what I wanted to say to him in person was, hey, man, I'm the one who wrote this script, and like I did so much research on his life that would have been awesome to talk to him in person and say, hey, man, the reason why I wanted you to do this was because I think it would have made you cool and like a cult figure rather than just the dude from Wheel of Fortune. Because
right.
like in the script he was wearing like gold robes and he had like these gold pistols.
Yeah.
And his whole pool was a colored Wheel of Fortune. He had two German shepherds named Vowel and Consonant. Like
be like an Eric Roberts.
Yeah. He was an odd like Sajak in this script was cool. So in no means were we making fun of him. And I dug like way into his personal history. Like, you know, he was in Vietnam. Like I wrote that into the thing. Like, I really did a lot of research. So I waited at this Dodgers game and I was just like, man, if he gets up to go to the bathroom, he's got to come through me. He's got to come past me. And then I'll go to the bathroom and be like, mm-hmm. hey, man, I'm the guy who wrote that fucking script. Didn't use the bathroom the entire game.
Oh, and he's an older gentleman, too.
I know.
Interesting. And I could, he probably got that removed. He is so fucking rich. He probably just got all of it removed.
So I never got to talk to Sajak. I never got to talk to him about...
That would have been a cool movie.
It would have been an awesome movie. And like, I remember I was in a meeting
would
about it.
Would it work with Steve Harvey?
Yeah, well, look, you're one of Steve Harvey's illegitimate kids.
You never know, right?
For Family Feud. It's one of those scripts that still peeks its head out, like, about a year and a half ago. A big production company had asked for it. Like, hey, man, is that script still available? It's like, yeah, motherfucker, it's available. Like,
of course.
Of course it is.
Did Pat Sajak do the fucking movie? Then no. Have you seen it out? Has he done anything? Yeah, it's still fucking available.
Yeah.
Are you going to make it? No, man. No. Just wanted to know if it's available. Yeah. Well, it is.
Yep, it is.
And I've got a bunch of other ones on the shelf, too.
Yeah. But so, that story was available. Always... story was always fascinating to me. And these daytime people, like, once I delved into that world and learned what their schedules were like, it was just like, man, there's nothing to it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just nothing to it. Again, you're recording five in a day. So it's like, same with Jeopardy, by the way. A lot of people don't know that about Jeopardy.
Oh, no, I do. Yeah, yeah.
They record five in a day. Mm-hmm. Now that would be a motherfucker.
And it's a motherfucker for the contestants, too. Like,
yeah, because you're
the ones
and they
that
tell
win,
you to bring a change of clothes.
They're just like, duh, duh. They're slamming them. They don't get to like go home and relax and like come back fresh the next day. Like,
yeah,
you're literally bending your mind.
Bending your mind
all day long.
Yes.
If you're winning.
If you're winning. So like that guy, who is it? Ken, the guy who was the longest champion forever on Jeopardy, Ken something.
Oh, Giraldi.
Yeah.
Giraldi.
Yep. Ken Giraldi.
Giraldi.
Dieberstein.
Yes.
The thing that made his run, Ken Jennings is his name.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that, and I didn't even look that up. I just knew that, which is scary.
That's how I jog your memory.
His run so unbelievable was the fact that he was, I mean, gassing through like 20 shows a week where you're like, Jesus, man. That's why you never see, you know, long returning champions on Jeopardy. You're doing fucking five shows a day. Like your mind
cannot handle that.
Fried. And not only that, but Trebek. Trebek's a gangster ass motherfucker.
Seriously.
For doing that many episodes.
Seriously.
But
I mean, does he do it the same as Sajak where it's like five in one day and then he's done?
No, I don't know. Week. I think he does more. And I think they only do it, I want to say, like half the year. So, you know, like you can schedule it however you want. And like you go to those sets. I believe it was on the Sony lot, and you see it's just kind of like this basic janky set where you're just like, man, I mean, it looks beautiful on TV, but you know, you get there and you're like, oh, this is it. You're just kind of showing up, you know, you're changing suits once a day, and that's, you know, that's about it to for the audience sake of like, oh,
right,
you're not wearing the same suits or the same tie or the same, you know, like,
yeah.
And that's kind of it. And same with contestants. So all the contestants, if you come back on Jeopardy, they tell you to bring more clothes. And there was this one woman who was on there. It was a gay guy who was on there. Somebody caught him.
Oh,
and they were wearing. He was wearing the same clothes, like same hair. He was wearing like the same set of clothes.
Red haired guy.
Yeah, two or three days in a row, and he became like this Twitter sensation because of. You know, his answers were really funny and he was a really affable guy and all that shit.
Dude,
and
that's great.
But he was the one who was just like, I didn't bring enough clothes.
Yeah,
I didn't think I was going to keep winning.
Yeah.
And I was just like, ah, shit, I never really thought about that. Like, you would.
Remember every time it was like, oh, he's giving me Thurston Howell today. Like, what are you giving me, sweetheart? I was like, this awesome.
Well, the reason why was he was taking off like his jacket, cutting his sleeve off and
using it
as a scarf.
Yeah, and just like. giving us Diana Ross.
Yeah. But on the flip side of that, if you look at it, if you wanted to be a true fucking gangster on Jeopardy and you knew like, hey man, I'm going to try to psych out the opponents, I'd walk in with a fucking rack full of clothes.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just a rack. People be like, whoa, well, why do you bring so many clothes?
Because
I'm not losing,
one,
motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm not losing,
and then having to take your whole rack back.
Yeah.
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 Is the only worry. Well, But that's a very, that's a bold move.
You bring
move.
It or you don't bring it. You bring it or you don't bring it, Jabes.
That's a bold move.
You bring it or you don't bring it. That's what my grandfather always used to say.
Of that, too, is just kind of like, again, I know it's controversial. I know it's a weird thing to say, but like Hitler is bad.
Yeah, yeah. Again, Jabes, words of wisdom. Straight from the ivory tower.
And I don't care what you guys think, you know, and I don't care how, again, like how incendiary that is.
You were,
but like,
you were saying
I do believe that Hitler's a bad guy.
Yeah. You were saying it before it was trendy again, and I like that about you.
You know, so if we take away anything.
Whoever created the Judge Judy show, that guy's not a bad guy at all, though. That guy is a rich, rich gentleman.
We don't know what kind of guy he is, but like he's definitely rich.
We do know. We do know. I have confirmation now.
Oh.
And I fuck it. I'll tell this to the audience. I don't really care. Before the last premiere for our movie, Not a Worse Story,
mm-hmm.
I got my teeth whitened. I like to gloss them up before I hit the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to shy away from that. This woman who I went to was just like, hey, I'm not going to be able to, 'cause they do it in your house now or wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman was like, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it over there. Can you come over to this house? It's my sister and her husband live there or whatever, right?
Where were you originally going to do it?
In the office. Like there is an office, but now she's more like mobile now.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's an older woman, and she's more like mobile now, where it's like you're pretty much just hooking up that machine and just fucking grilling your teeth for an hour.
Sure,
like,
sure.
You could be anywhere. So anyways, I said, look, I got to work. I can't make it to that side of town to the office. So I was like, if you do the in-house shit, that'd be great. We couldn't fit the times together. And she was like, well, I got to go to my sister's house. It's huge. You know, you can come over there and do it. And I was like, right on. So I go there and it's this fucking mega mansion, like mega mansion in the hills, right up behind like Hugo Boss and all that shit off Sunset.
Okay.
And so I was just like, God damn. I mean, and I went there and she was like, yeah, you know, just wait until I get there and then I'll walk you out, you know, down to the back. There's like a guest house and all this other shit and have a bunch of patients. And I was like, all right, cool. So I show up to this mega house and there's like 30 workers working on the outside of this goddamn place. And I was like, holy shit. And I walk in and it was like Scarface. Like it was just this unbelievable house. And there was a guy there. I was like, oh, hey, whatever. The guy and who was married to the sister and the whole shit. And then she walks me down and, you know, you put the stuff on your teeth and they clean you up and whatever. And I was like, hey, by the way, I was like, do you mind me asking what they do like mm-hmm. for a living? Because this is like a crazy house. And I've been to a lot of houses in L.A. and this is a big, big fucking house.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, yeah, he created Judge Judy and like fucking like a laundry list of these shows all in this vein. And that was his specialty, was to create this fucking shit. And I was like, holy cow. I was like, you know, you never really think about who creates these shows. Because like I've pitched 1,000 shows. I've sold a fair amount, and I at no point would I ever think to pitch a show about an old Jewish woman who is a judge in the middle of the afternoon on television. Like, would that ever come to your mind? Where you're like,
wasn't
man,
there a bunch of judge shows though? It was People's Court,
like
Judge Joe Brown,
Judge
and
Wapner
like
back in the day,
Wapner, and she's like a no nonsense gal, like. Remember everyone was trying to get a judge show for a second too?
Yeah.
Ito.
Yeah.
Fucking the Nicole Brown or Anna Nicole Smith.
Sure.
One.
Sure.
Just trying to be like a no nonsense, funny, like entertaining judge so that they can get a show.
Right. But to me at least, the hard part of that is you think, all right, great. There's one on in the middle of the afternoon, People's Court or whatever it is. Why do you need two or three? At no point in my life would I have been like, man, you know what the world needs is like three more of those shitty judge shows where they're bickering over like $850. Like,
right. But it must be cheap, right? So it's like they don't have to pay anybody.
Nope.
That's coming in. Everyone's just like agreeing and signing releases.
You know what they do pay for it? And this is a little known fact. They actually pay for the verdict.
So they pay the fine.
Yeah. So whoever loses or wins,
but that's
or whatever,
a small fee.
Oh, it's tiny. It's tiny.
It's always like
small claims court.
Yeah,
it's like small claims court.
Yeah, 200. Like it's never.
Yeah, the extras are free. They're there for the day just because they want to be fucking extras. Mm-hmm. And then Judge Judy does her thing. So they, you know, they pay her and the camera people and all that
the
shit.
The overhead is just nothing. So
no. Yeah,
it's content. It's middle of the day. Yeah. What are you going to put there?
Look, it's a great. It is a great fucking moneymaker that I just would never have thought of like, oh,
yeah,
that's and a lot of people like secretly who love Judge Judy, like celebrities are like, man, I'd love to go on Judge Judy, like just sit in the courtroom. There's been a couple celebrities who have, I think it was Amy Schumer.
It
was Schumer who sat in for a couple episodes in the background, was just
that's
watching.
Great.
Mine would have been Springer for sure.
Right.
I still get down on Springer.
Of course.
There is nothing like a late night Springer, like 2-3 in the morning where you're just like, Jerry.
No,
yeah,
no,
love
thank
it.
You.
I love it so much. You. And I would be an extra on Springer for sure. I would show up and do the whole shit. I know what that entails. Like you're probably there 90 hours for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hot and sweaty and there's all these people and I would do it. I would go on Spring Dog for a day just to see what it's like up close and personal. Because you know Jerry's cool. Like shit, he was fucking half the girls on the show. He got popped fucking the guests.
Really?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh god.
He was getting beeges from prosties like on the show, like guests on the show and shit like that. Which look,
why not?
Why not? Jerry Springer.
Sex workers, yeah, getting paid.
The reason why he's Jerry Springer is simply for the fact of he got thrown out of what was it? Was he mayor? I think he was mayor of Cincinnati, and he wrote a check to a prostitute.
Yes, so I mean, old habits
die hard,
rock hard in your mouth.
Yeah. So Springer, man, fucking doing it,
doing it tight, doing it all night.
Now it's that point in the show for the revolutionary figure of the day.
It better not be Hitler.
Oh, God. It's not Hitler. It's definitely not Hitler. We know that you were ahead of the curve on hating Hitler.
I just kind of want it to be known, you know? I need it to, like... I need everyone to know.
Everybody knows.
Everybody
knows. The revolutionary figures of the day. We're going to go out to Sandy Sprechtman and Kay Switzer. They created Judge Judy. They're the creators of Judge Judy. And I believe the guys. Let me peep him open real quick.
Peep that shit open.
Yeah. Judge fucking Judy, man. You fucking believe that shit? Creating Judge Judy like that.
Unbelievable. How much are they making? I mean, they've got a big piece of that pie.
They do. There was a huge lawsuit recently with them, too. And they wanted even more money. Like, I think their upfront fee for last year was $20 million alone for syndication.
Sweet, sweet Judge Judy money.
God damn
Who
it,
Who knew?
Who's fucking married to Judge Judy?
I think some.
Somebody, right?
Yeah, just some older dude. I don't think it's anybody.
Because that's a fucking meal train right there.
Right.
Boy, that's the whole...
I think he literally needs a meal train. They're older.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he gets a meal train
spry
delivered.
And, yeah. And, you know.
No, she does.
And rad. I don't know if that's true or not. Who knows?
I'd party with Judge Judy, dude.
Who wouldn't? Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
But this was a fun show. There was a lot of storms going on. So if you hear... my dog barking in the background. That's why. And look, we got a lot of shit going down. We're doing a fantasy football special. For those of you who don't know, I'm a fantasy football legend. I think I've won like 4 Super Bowls in the last 10 years. Like I'm kind of amazing at fantasy football. I kind of wish that was my life. Like I could just drop out of life and be a professional fantasy football player. Against people, not in like the FanDuel shit, but like in leagues. Like I'm a league guy. This one day FanDuel shit, you're up against computers. Like don't even fucking play against that shit. It's like a weird algorithm, and you can't beat it. So know that going in to anybody who's getting into FanDuel before the NFL season starts, or college football. But for fantasy football, for me, I'm a messiah. A messiah of fantasy football. And tomorrow night is the draft, and we'll be dropping an extra bonus episode this week. Jables is in the league as well. Jables actually made it to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, and I just pick people that I think are cute and other people that I like their personality and the colors of their team. And it's worked out well.
You watched the games with me. You were in the Super Bowl last year, so we're going to be dropping a fantasy football episode. So that'll be a bonus episode this week. And then, next week, boy, McGregor versus Mayweather, obviously, if Mayweather loses, we might just do a show every single day for the rest of the year.
Mm.
And that will be our only sponsor is McGregor.
Yeah.
Just,
I guess so.
I would be one of the happiest human beings on this planet.
Right.
I love him so much.
Yeah, I know.
It's a big week. It's an exciting week. We appreciate you tuning in. And again, look for that fantasy football bonus episode if you're a fantasy junkie like myself. For Jesse Wiseman, a.k.a. The Jables, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night.